Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Welcome, everyone. Today, Dr. Jennings reads the final chapter of his groundbreaking book, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. We've learned so much along the way. Now, Dr. Jennings reminds us of the origin of evil, the many evidences of God's love, and how we were created for a very noble cause, to reveal to the world the truth about God. Here's Dr. Jennings.
Everything depends on the kind of God one believes in. Instead of automatically blaming the person who does not believe in a God, we should ask first if his notion of God is a God that ought to be believed in. George MacDonald. After I became aware of the hierarchy of the mind, I continued my research and discovered several important principles essential to achieving and maintaining mental wellness. Earlier we discussed the law of worship and learned that we actually become like the God we admire and worship. We found that misconceptions about him result in rebellion, suffering, and pain. The picture we hold of God is so important because it directly shapes the development of our individual characters as we incorporate into our lives the traits, principles, and methods of the God we serve. The tragic terrorist attacks on September 11, 2001 demonstrate this principle. Those who carried out the attacks believed that the murder of innocent people would please the deity they worshipped. Given this reality, I would like to share my personal belief about our origin, God's purpose in our creation, and ultimately, about the God I serve. Long ago, the universe was perfect and pure. No sound of discord existed anywhere, and all was harmony and peace. God reigned supreme, all-powerful, yet equally gracious, gladly providing everything for the benefit and happiness of his intelligent creatures. He withheld nothing that could bring joy and benefit, and he enjoyed intimate communion with his intelligent creatures. One of his closest relationships was with a being called Lucifer. The Lord blessed Lucifer with every gift imaginable, great intelligence, beauty, riches, glory, authority, talent, influence, and freedom of will. Lucifer held an exalted position second only to that of God himself and his son. The name Lucifer means light bearer. We still hear echoes of his name in words such as illuminate or luminescence. He had the great honor of being foremost of the created beings in knowing God and then sharing his knowledge, his light, about God throughout the universe. Imagine yourself an angel in heaven. You have known Lucifer your entire existence and have enjoyed traveling with him and praising God alongside him. Lucifer is your commander, your counselor, your trusted friend, and your close confidant. From him you have learned many wonderful insights about God, and now he has just come from the divine presence with new and fascinating details about God, things that you've never heard before. But these characterizations are troubling, unsettling, and scary. Lucifer reminds you of the immense power of God, and then suggests that if any of God's intelligent creatures don't act according to his plan, he will use his power to hurt and destroy them. He implies that as long as everyone does as God intends, there is the appearance of freedom. But if anyone steps out of line and violates God's law, God will use his power to punish. What would you do? So you go to God and say, Lucifer has suggested things about you that are disturbing, things that are even frightening. If they are true, they would shatter my trust in you. I love you, God, but I love Lucifer too. I don't want to choose. God might respond, I'm glad you love me, and I'm glad you love Lucifer too. Trust me, what Lucifer is saying is untrue. Then you leave God's presence reassured. Finding Lucifer, you announce, I just spoke with God and he told me that what you're saying is not true. That's the point, Lucifer replies. God is lying. What could God do? How could he respond? Why doesn't he simply proclaim that he is telling the truth and that Lucifer is lying? Imagine you're the pastor of a large church. Your brother, who is the head elder, quietly and subtly circulates among the members of the congregation, asking people to put you on their prayer list because you've been embezzling money from the congregation. He hopes those prayers will be answered that you will repent and that you will return the funds. Of course, you haven't taken a cent, but your brother has sowed seeds of doubt. When you discover what he is doing, how do you react? If you face the entire congregation to proclaim your innocence, will that convince everyone? No way. So what do? You call in an outside auditor and line by line, ledger by ledger, as every penny gets accounted for, the truth and the evidence exonerate you and expose the liar. What could God do? The confusion Satan had stirred up was raging throughout the universe. Factions began to form. The uncertainty of the angels increased, and as Lucifer's subtle distortions took hold, God said, "Let there be light. Let the firmament come forth. Let the dry land appear." As Lucifer made false declarations about the Heavenly Father and his Son, God gave evidence that he is the Creator. God didn't simply make proclamations. No, he offered evidence, revealed demonstrable truth. The anticipation begins building in heaven as the universe sees God creating. Did you see what God just made today? What do you think he's going to do tomorrow? And the attention of the entire universe found itself drawn to our little world with keen anticipation, awaiting God's continued demonstration of the answers to Lucifer's allegations. And on the sixth day, with the entire universe watching, God said, "Let us make man in our image. Male and female created he them." As the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come together in union and create in their image, so man and woman would come into union and procreate in their image. And after God had made humanity, he told them to be fruitful and multiply in a perfect world without sin. Before sin entered our world, it was God's design that Adam and Eve would have children in a perfect environment, one governed by the law of love and liberty. Why do parents have children? Do they bring them into the world to enslave, to manipulate, to exploit, or to abuse? Or do parents dedicate their time, energy, love, and resources all for the benefit of their children? How much more so in a world before sin? Such a demonstration would have revealed to the onlooking universe the truth about how God treats his creatures, that God did not create them to exploit, enslave, abuse, or control. Instead, he constantly gives of himself for the welfare of his creation. Can you imagine the high calling that God created humanity to fulfill? Through their caring for the planet and their nurturing of their children, humanity was to illustrate the truth about how God governs his universe. God created the human race in his image to reveal the truth about himself. Satan recognized humanity's importance. He also recognized that if the universe understood the evidence humanity's creation would offer, it would expose his lies and crush his rebellion. To block God's strategy, Satan returned to the same strategy that he used in his efforts to confuse his fellow angels in heaven. This time he directed his deception at our planet and specifically at Adam and Eve. His intention was to hijack God's creation and prevent humanity from revealing the truth about God by so damaging the human mind that it would reveal a nature completely contrary to the Creator. To accomplish this, he approached Adam and Eve and misrepresented God. He called the divine trustworthiness into question. Did God really say that in the day you eat thereof you will die? "Oh, no, you won't. Look at me," the serpent declared. "I can talk because I ate of the tree. God knows that in the day you eat of the tree, you will become gods yourself, and he is trying to keep that from you." Sadly, following this encounter, Adam and Eve, God's beautiful creation, fashioned in his image to represent the truth about him, rebelled against their heavenly Father and became tools of Satan to further misrepresent God before the universe. Adam's character immediately changed from one that encompassed love and self-sacrifice to a persona that included fear and selfishness. Instead of sacrificing himself to protect Eve, he blamed her and tried to excuse himself. The onlooking universe suffered terrible confusion, wondering if Adam accurately reflected the Creator. Was Lucifer right after all? Was God selfish like Adam, unwilling to sacrifice himself, in this case, for his creation? Or would he instead sacrifice his creation to save himself? Therefore, Jesus became the second Adam, not to pay a penalty the first Adam owed, but to finish the work the first Adam failed to accomplish, to reveal the truth about God, and to answer the questions and provide the evidence that would protect the unfallen universe and set us free from the lies that bind us. after God finished creating our world in his attempt to reveal the truth about himself, he provided one of the greatest evidences of his guarantee of individual freedom, the weekly Sabbath. Imagine yourself again as an angel in heaven during the time that Lucifer's rebellion began. You have heard Lucifer suggest that if you step out of line, God will use his power to punish and destroy. Lucifer explains that your freedom is counterfeit because God grants apparent blessing as long as you do what he dictates. If you step out of line, though, he will get you. And then you have just witnessed God create a new world, an overwhelming display of power. More stirrings of doubt begin running through your mind. What if Lucifer is right? What if God is displaying his immense power to intimidate, to pressure, to coerce? Is he simply flexing his muscles to scare us into conformity? But as you contemplate Lucifer's subtle misrepresentations, God intervenes. Universe, you have heard the allegations of Lucifer. You have heard the testimony of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and you have seen the evidence just given. Now, take 24 hours aside and consider this for yourself. I rest my case. And God created the Sabbath to further refute Satan's allegations and reveal that with God, we experience real freedom of thought and choice. The Sabbath reveals that God will never use his might to force his way. What does it say about him that, in the context of an assault against his throne and government, he grants freedom to choose? What does it say about God that, in the context of allegations that he is untrustworthy and abusive, he creates a day to reason and make free will choices rather than use his power to force every knee in the universe to bow? The Sabbath provides convincing evidence that Lucifer is a liar. With God, we are truly free. Incredible God, awesome creator. How can you not trust a God who respects your freedom to choose? It is by understanding the truth about God that we value his character, principles, and methods of doing things, and therefore trust him. Our trust rests on the revelation of evidence that he has given to demonstrate his trustworthiness. This reestablished trust expels fear from our hearts, and we begin again to operate from motives of love rather than selfishness, fear, and guilt. Our reason is ennobled, our conscience cleansed, our will is strengthened, and we freely choose to practice God's methods of love and liberty. It's only natural that we become more and more like him. Our self-governance, dignity, and God-given nobility of character are restored. We operate on the principles of love, freedom, truth, and openness, ever advancing, ever maturing, ever achieving victory after victory as we are changed from God's enemies into his friends, looking forward to the day that we shall meet him face to face.
Dr. Timothy Jennings sharing with us the final chapter of his amazing book, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. I'd like to remind you that this audiobook is just one of many, many resources waiting for you at comeandreason.com. God would not have us ignorant of who he is or how he acts. He wants our faith to be built on the solid ground of evidence. That's the mission of the Come and Reason Ministries, to provide that evidence and invite us all to fall in love with the God of love. This program was sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.